Well, it's a good day, and I hope the Lord will use us to His honor and glory. Thankful for everybody that's here.
Amen.
I am going to encounter the Lord with the help of the Lord to go into the book of Acts. And I believe the Lord would want me to go there. Let me say a few words to you. When I am teaching the Lord's Word, I try never to talk down to people. If I come over that like I am, forgive me, I don't mean that. Sometimes I emphasize things a little heavily. I have found out that a place to grind axes is not on the church floor. I have seen that happen in my lifetime. I have seen preachers, now not you, but I've seen preachers would take a doctrinal statement, another preacher would disagree, and they'd get in the pulpit and preach their feelings. And I cannot tell a preacher what to do. A preacher is above me. But I try to preach what I see. I do not try to preach against a preacher or any member, and I do not try to preach for them or teach. I try to teach what the Lord's got on my heart. Sometimes people disagree with me, and that's fine. I am not after anybody that disagrees with me. God gave us a spirit, but I had a situation once, and I'll tell you about this real hurriedly. Had two preachers, and I believe they were good preachers. And we were having a little problem among the people. And one got up and said, "I'm called of God, and this is the way it is, and I know I'm right." A couple of weeks later, the other one got up and said, "I'm called of God, I know I'm right," and he preached the opposite. And that kind of got my attention that the house of God is not a place to confuse people. And so what I want to say is, and I'm not getting you ready to teach some out-of-the-world doctrine. I don't mean that. But I just mean when I teach it, it's my heart. And I know that I'm not your servant. You're not my servants, according to the 14th chapter, I believe it's 14th chapter of Romans. But I have to teach my lesson. And I ask other teachers and other preachers to teach their lessons. And I've learned to, if there happens to be a disagreement, which I have not seen any lately, hope we don't have any, I've learned to disagree agreeably. That means I give you the liberty that I take in the Word of God. All right. Book of Acts. The book of Acts is a transition book. There are some things in the book of Acts that deals with some things that Christians were having questions with. I've said this before and I want to say it again because I think it fits right here. You had a New Testament church. Now let me say something. There is kind of a debate among independent Baptists, a few that I know of, that thinks the church was started on the day of Pentecost. I do not believe that. I believe the church was empowered on the day of Pentecost. But I believe Jesus, and I'm going to read some scriptures to lead up to this. I don't know if I'll even get one scripture in the book of Acts this morning because I want to lead it up the way I believe the Lord would have me to do it. The book of Acts, the author is Luke. And as I've already said, it's a transitional book. It transitions from a kingdom message to a church message. Now, let me stop you right there. All of the Bible is written for our admonition. Okay? In the Old Testament, God used Jewish writers. Some of you might say, well, if a section of Job. Well, I traced Job out, and far as the historical facts will let us believe, Job was a contemporary in another country at the same time of Isaac and Jacob, along in that area. But he was of the lineage of Shem. Okay? You got Noah's sons, you got Shem, Japheth, and Ham. Now, generally speaking, Japheth was the father of the Gentiles. Shem was the father of the Semites. Now, not all Semites were Jews. There were some more Semites besides the Jews. Well, Job was one of those. So I wanted to just say that. But all the New Old Testament was written by Jews and for Jews. Okay? Now, when we get past the book of John, the writings goes to the church. And I just noticed when John wrote Revelation, twice in that book he said, the Lord said, write unto the churches. He said it in chapter 1. He said in chapter, 22? Write these things to the churches. So I said that to show you what I'm talking about in the transition. See? Now, Brother Chris read a verse this morning that you at that time were Gentiles without hope, without covenants. What Gentile did God give a covenant to? You say, well, how about Noah? Well, okay, but Noah was in the lineage. Okay, so and I have found through teaching through the years that I have to teach us nowadays Christians that we were not the apple of God's eye when we started out. I have no problem whatsoever when I read Jesus, what he said to the Syrophoenician woman. It's not fit for me to give the children's bread to dogs. And what was her answer? True, Lord. You're right, Lord. We're dogs. As far as covenants go. Now, I'm not trying to teach you that God hated everybody. I'm not trying to teach that. I'm trying to say God had a special people. He had a special people. And when the New Testament was written, we were not them. I'm talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We were not them. All right, let me get into a few things here. This book of Acts, as I said, is a transitional book in Christian doctrine. However, it reinforces the saviorship and lordship of Christ and the sinner's depravity. Theophilus. Well, there's been some discussion. Who was Theophilus? I looked up all I could find on it. It is my belief that it's God's people that Luke was talking to, because when I look up the meaning of Theophilus, it means beloved of God. Now, some people say, well, that might have been a man. Well, okay, that's fine. People can take that. But in my opinion, it was the believers that he was going to talk to. The scriptures before Acts having a bearing or understanding on this book. And I want to read a few of them. Turn with you to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. See if I can bring some stuff out on this. You probably already know it, but let me just mention it again to you. Book of Matthew 16, and I want to read verse 13. Verse 13, Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples. Who did he ask? His disciples. Saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some is Elias, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want to say, have a few comments for those things I've read right there. Now, I've heard it said that people have figured this out, and I've heard people say, now, Jesus was telling Peter he's the little rock, and Jesus is the big rock. Let's read that carefully. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Okay. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Catholics use this verse to say that God, Christ, built the church upon Peter. What did Christ build the church on? Peter's faith. Peter's faith. I don't see no reference there to little rocks and big rocks. Peter's faith. Upon this rock I will build my church. So, now does that give us a basis for talking about the New Testament church? That it was built upon faith. It was built upon faith. Faith in what? Faith in what? That's right. Thou art the Christ. In other words, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. See? So Jesus went ahead and told him, I'm going to build my church on this. All right? Now the next chapter, next verse I want to take you to is Matthew 18. And let's take a look at Matthew 18, a passage in that. Passage in Matthew 18, and look at verse 15. Moreover, and I believe Brother Bell read this to us the other night, but I'd like to use it again. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him thy fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Now that was law doctrine, wasn't it? See, law would be established under two or more witnesses. All right? And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee a heathen man and a publican. For I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There's a couple of things in there I'd like to point out. Number one, Jesus is telling them the church is going to have power with God. They're going to have power to administrate God's message and God's group. See? In other words, that's kind of scary there when he says, tell it to the church. Now, in the old days when I was a kid, it was fearful for me that the preacher would find out if I misbehaved. When I got to be 14 and I went out and did a few things I shouldn't do, I'd rather my daddy would know it as the preacher. Well, why? Because there was a fear of the minister of God. And I think there should be. I think there should be. And another thing I want to point out is Jesus is foretelling them that whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now I think, and you don't have to agree with this, I think when the church diligently does the will of God, best they know how, and they're led by the Spirit, and somebody is excluded from the church, heaven takes notice of that. Now, I'm not saying they're lost. I'm not saying they're lost. But I'm saying heaven takes note when we're led by the Spirit to do things for God. Okay? Now you say, well, Brother Glenn, why are you taking time to say these things? Because they did not have that in the Old Testament. See, we're talking about a new dispensation. We're talking about a new power among men. See? Now, all of us men, come on back, and Paul addressed this. The power is not in us. The power is not in Brother Bell. But Brother Bell gives us the Word of God, and that gives him the authority. Okay? All right. Next verse I want to mention. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Let me read that with you, please. John chapter 16, let's look at verse 7. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Okay, now, when the Lord spoke that, who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the disciples. You can find that over in chapter 13. That they were doing the Lord's Supper. So he spoke this as his dissertation after the supper. Okay? All right, now, I will send a comforter to you. He is sending a comforter to the apostles. What kind of comfort will this be? Will it be when you get cold in the wintertime, I'll send heat down on you? No, it was a spiritual comforter. So that as Brother Chris said a while ago, when God saves you, you can know it. And it, how many of you have a bad day and you run to God for comfort? That's the comforter. All right, next verse. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So, this same power that God was going to send on the church, Jesus Christ is promising it here, the same thing that's going to comfort justified men is going to reprove sinners. That's important. In our dispensation, I don't want to belabor the point, in our dispensation, no sinner gets saved without reproof from God. We preach and we teach and we preach, but it's God that troubles hearts. See, I recall when I got saved, I wasn't looking for God. He come looking for me, and he put an extreme amount of conviction on me. A conviction, now in my particular case, and I don't know about you, and I don't do cake recipe getting saved. That's between you and God. It looked like that I was going to hell right now. That was the condemnation. So I was condemned of judgment to come. Now I was condemned of sin too, because I was a sinner. See? And of righteousness. I didn't have any. And of judgment to come. And the Bible just says over and over, it don't say it in these words, but it teaches you, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So I tell all lost people, the graveyard is a witness to you that you're going to die. After that, what? Now I know in the society me and you live in, most people is past feeling. Oh, okay, well, however it bounces, that's what I'll be. Well, according to the Bible, however it bounces without Christ is hell. See, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. I know morally some have sinned more than others. But everybody has sinned. See? And now, not only that, but we have offended God. See, a sinner needs to learn who God is. Who is God? Well, God is the mighty, almighty God. He's forever and forever and forever. He's God. He knows everything. He's holy, holy, holy. And I guess I'm reteaching my lesson because I've said these things before. And he knows everything, and he's going to last forever and ever. And he's finally going to wind up being the judge of everybody. I just noticed, is it Colossians chapter 2, where God hath given him a name above every name? That people, that things in the earth, things in heaven, and things under the earth, knees shall bow, tongue shall confess. Now when he says heavens, earth, and under earth, what does that mean to you? That's right. Angels, all angels, I believe, and all of Adam's race is going to meet somewhere, and they're going to confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's going to please the Father. How about that? And I read that in conjunction with Isaiah 53. Okay. So Jesus told them, said, I'm going to send you a comforter, and he is going to reprove the world. In other words, it's changing, boys. It's changing. Now wait a minute. God didn't change. His method of dealing with us changed in the message. Not God's greatness, not God's holiness didn't change. Faith of mankind towards God is still required, always was. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By what? By faith. So it's still faith. But what's changing is how God is going to deal with men. Now, these disciples didn't know it. They did not know it. But Jesus foresaw, and I'll get to that in just a minute, that he was going to call everybody. And man, to a Jew, that was unbelievable.
Right. Well, to a Jew, it was basically blasphemy.
Yeah.
Because they had no concept of that. Because all their lives they'd been taught that we were dogs.
Right.
So how can you bring a dog into the synagogue?
And to drive that message home, just go back and read the book of Judges. See? And read David's life, and I know you have. David, you know, those people back there fought mortal combat for God. But we don't do that now. That changed. You see what I mean? I mean, God don't tell me to go kill sinners today. He tells me to love them. What a contrast.
You know, Brother Glenn, I've got a question that's been bothering me. Did the apostles have the indwelling spirit?
Brother, I don't think they had the indwelling spirit until the day of Pentecost.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
That's my opinion.
I wanted to hear from somebody smarter.
Well, I don't think they did. I'll try to address that later on when we get over there a little bit, but I appreciate the question. Because, I mean, that's a big question with people today. How does the Spirit work? Well, get saved and you'll find out.
Amen.
See? All right, I want to read for you and with you Matthew 28. And, of course, you Bible readers know where I'm going with this. Matthew 28, verse 16. All right, now, everybody here understands this is after Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? He's risen from the dead, and he is He is giving his apostles some instructions here. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's a pretty great statement. He rose from the dead. Can I recall your minds to chapter 17 of John, where Jesus said, Father, give me the glory that I had with you before the world was. See? Brother Glenn, what are you trying to say there? I'm trying to say Jesus forsook heaven. One preacher preached the ivory palaces of heaven to come down here and go into abject poverty, for we think 33 and a half years and live among mankind. But after he was risen from the dead, he was restored to his glory. Not only that, but he was restored to absolute, the pinnacle of glory. I mean in him. Paul just kept saying, in him is everything. It's in him. See, people make an error today in America. I believe in God. I believe in God. Hey, there is a God. But he's so holy, and can I say this carefully? He's so holy, he will not deal with you on a friendly terms by himself. We have to have a mediator. Back to Isaiah 57. That presents Jesus Christ as a mediator between God and man. And hey, folks, that's not the first time God did that. Tim's reading over there in Exodus, thank you. And God is going to say, he's finally going to say, I'm so tired of you, I'm going to send an angel to lead you, because if I lead you, I'll consume you. Did he not say that?
Amen.
Now that's another point I want to make one of these days in this book, if God lets me last. Angels had the authority, and let me touch that just a minute. In the Old Testament, okay, no, I'm not through here. I'm sorry. I'm back to Matthew 28. Yes. Okay, verse 19. Go ye therefore, in other words, because I've got all power, I'm giving you authority. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay, I got some things I want to point out right there. Who is to be baptized?
Believers.
Now, I could go to Mark 16 and prove that, and I may go there in a minute, but right now, baptizing them. Okay, I want you to notice in that scripture, verse 19, I want you to notice the word name, N-A-M-E. It is not names. It is name. God is one. Now, he's manifested in three personalities. But he's one. Philip, and it helped me to read that. Philip came to Jesus and said, Jesus, show us the Father and it suffices us. And Jesus said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, that kind of blows your human mind, doesn't it? You see? But there it is. So God is one. See, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Ain't that good? Boy, that is good to me. I like it. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Okay? The church has got three missions in the world. Preach the gospel, baptize believers, and teach believers. See? Paul said twice in his writings, he said, I think he said it to the Corinthians, and he said again to Hebrews, you are Christians that's still taking milk, and you need to take meat. So they need to be taught. Not necessarily by me, but by somebody. I'm not embellishing what I'm doing. I'm just telling you. All right, let me go. I want to take time to go to Mark 16. Because there's some things there I want to say. You say, well, brother, you're not teaching Acts. Well, I'm trying to. Mark 16. All right. Now, we got the same situation, just a different writer. Let me read verse 15. And he said unto them, this is after he's raised from the dead, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The next phrase, I want you to listen to it carefully. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Did I misquote that? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. What about he that baptizeth not? How about him?
Well, it also you could take it that if he doesn't believe and baptize, he's damned. Water ain't doing no good.
Right.
You've got to have the belief.
That's right. Next verse. And this is one that a lot of people today in our generation gets crossed up in. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All right, that is in the Bible. I want it to be known that that's in the Bible. And we say, okay, Brother Glenn, how does that work since it's in the Bible? Well, one preacher preached this way. He said, they shall. And he said, you let them do it. Well, what happened to this verse? How was it fulfilled? It was fulfilled in the apostles. Now, I don't know of any instance where they drank deadly poison in the New Testament, but I know of an instance where a viper hung on to Apostle Paul's hand and the inhabitants of the island looked, and when he should have fallen dead, they marveled. So there are some transitions. And what I'm trying to get people to understand and to see is you got to follow the transitions. Now let me caution you there. Let me caution you right there. Not the transitions of people of Life Church. Not the transitions of these Johnny-come-lately religions. See? And somebody said, Mr. Pollard, what makes you such a judge? I'm not a judge, but I read what the judge said.
Right. And also, Christ himself gave them that power.
Right.
It wasn't given by Benny Hinn or whoever.
No.
But it was done by Jesus Christ. Yep. He delivered it once to the apostles. He didn't deliver it 17,000 times. He delivered it once, just like his message was delivered once.
Right. Once delivered unto the saints. Yep. So these signs now that follow them. Okay. Why did God use signs? Huh? Because where was the first sign in the Bible? Moses? Right? Okay. Signs. Why did God use signs? Call people's attention to his message. Okay, you get over in the New Testament, and man, we read Acts 7 and 8 and 9, and they're doing miracles. Oh, Mr. Pollard, I hear a question. Mr. Pollard, we're in the New Testament. Why do they do that? Because the Word of God had not been completed. Paul said, when that which is perfect is done, that which is in part shall be done away. Did he not say that in 1 Corinthians? I believe that's 13. You see what I mean? So Jesus gave them these gifts. Now, I want to go a little further right here. I want to shift gears on you just a little bit. Man, I'm out of time. In the Old Testament, angels could manage the message of God. Okay? Where's the first time an angel's mentioned in the Bible? Right. First time an angel's mentioned is Hagar when Moses. Where's the last time an angel was mentioned? I'm not talking about in the book of Jude and the book of Revelation. I'm talking about chronologically in the New Testament. When Paul was shipwrecked, he was in the shipwreck. It's the last time I know. Is that okay? Okay, angels could manage the message of God. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John period, Christ personally managed God's message. Right? He did. Now, he still manages God's message through the Holy Ghost and through the church. God's men are his speakers. God don't have angels. I mean, angels are still here. But they're not in the message business.
No, they're not the angels now, just ministering spirits.
Yes, sir. Okay. So we call it, some people of us call the dispensation we're in now the spiritual dispensation. Really? See, now that don't mean we're like Pentecostals. Doesn't mean that. It just means God's truth is led today by the Holy Ghost and the Bible. Now let me say something very critical here. And I've met people that didn't believe it. But according to 1 John, the Spirit of God and the Bible always agree. So when you go out and see these phony people doing phony things towards the Scripture, you know they're phony. Okay? Okay. The gospel of the kingdom, and I'm out of time, so I'm going to have to quit here. But I got a few more things to say before we get into it. I want to talk about the gospel of the kingdom very briefly and do some reading about John the Baptist. What was John the Baptist's message? It was a good message. It was a good message. But I want to address that a little bit next time. Thank you for being attentive to me this morning. I did a lot of talking. I hope it wasn't confusing. And I just wanted to make some things clear to lead us up to the book of Acts.